But if you walk in obedience to Christ, if you do that, you'll see the light. You'll see the light, and you'll be standing on high ground. John 8:12. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light. All of us here, born again, we all have the light. But are we shining that light? Which means Christ will reveal his will to you, because his light is his will. It's in this book, and he'll reveal it to you. 2 Timothy 2:7. Think over what I say, he writes, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. In our Sunday school class, we've been rehearsing the word everything. It's not a good term. Instead, supplement that with without exception. That's what everything means. Without exception. He will give you understanding without exception for everything. Doesn't matter what it is. He'll give it to you. I dare say there isn't a person here that knows Christ as their Savior that hasn't had a situation come up in their life and they prayed a simple little prayer like, Lord Christ, I don't know what to do. I don't know what your will is. I don't know to go left or go right. I don't know. Would you open a door for me? Or would you speak to my heart? Would you send somebody? Would you make the phone ring and the answer be there? Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And that prayer is, if you're right with God, that prayer will be answered. He will never leave you or forsake you. He says in Isaiah 41:10, I'm going to hold you with my right hand. In another place, he says, I'm going to be with you until your hairs turn white. I'm never going to leave you. What else can he do to make it clear that he wants you to know his will? Another way we can know we're standing on high ground is by developing our regenerated mind. You're not the same. If you're saved, you're not the same person you were before salvation. You're not. You're a different person. The Bible says you're a new creature. What does that mean? It means your stony heart, that was a worldly heart, is taken out. He puts in a malleable heart that he can form and shape. He gives you the mind of Christ. He gives you his word and lets you understand it. And then you're going into the world as a new creature. That's what it is. And now that you have that mind, the next step is you have to develop the mind. You know, God gives us all a brain. But as we grow, what do? We develop that brain. Same in the spiritual realm. He gave you the mind of Christ. Now we have to develop the mind of Christ. How do we do that? 1 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's given you a sound mind, a divine mind. The attributes of God is the mind of Christ. You have the spiritual mind to understand the spiritual things of God. And with the mind of Christ, what happens? You can grow and you can develop a biblical mind. And what does that do? What does a biblical mind do? It develops a spiritual instinct for discerning God's will. I'm going to tell you something. I tell people this all the time. A new thing about a year ago happened to me. Everybody says, oh yeah, you know, everything has a spiritual connection, right? Those are all words. Take the words out and now apply them. Look at everything in your life with a spiritual connection. Find it. Next time the phone rings and somebody calls and it's a good call or a bad call, what's the spiritual connection, Lord? Think about it. Everything has a spiritual connection. You know why? Because everything was ordained by God through his providence, and he did it first spiritually, because it's in your heart. When you do something, the act is something that comes from your heart and your mind before it becomes a physical act, and you're a spiritual creature. So you can discern that. And you have the mind for it. You just have to have the will to do it. It's that simple. And once your spiritual instinct, once that kicks in, once you start looking at things spiritually, everything changes. It's a new game. Because now you know what God's will is in any situation. You'll judge yourself and others righteously. That is by God's word. You won't do it anymore just like, well, I don't like that. Well, who cares what you like? What does God like? That should be the question. Does God like it? You'll know the difference between God's voice and the flesh's voice. How do we know the difference when you've, and we've all done it? Well, I think God's putting it on my heart. Well, how do you know that? How do you know it's not the devil putting it on your heart? How do you know it's not the flesh putting it on your heart? How do you know that? It's simple. Anything that has to do with the flesh has to do with what you want. That's simple. Anything that has to do with the flesh is something that you want. That's fleshly. Not saying it's bad. I'm saying that's how you know that it's not God, it's the flesh. It's that simple. You'll know the difference, or you'll instinctively gravitate towards the things that are praiseworthy if you have a spiritual instinct. You'll want the things that are true. You'll gravitate to things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that have a good report. You won't be looking at all the bad stuff. You'll be looking for the good things in people. You won't wait for somebody to fall. You'll pray for them because love does that. A different person, a spiritual instinct to see God in everything. Because it is true. He's everywhere and he's in everything. Lastly, we can know God's will by watching divine providence. I love this part. By watching his providence unfold in our lives. We've all done it. We've all seen. How many times have something happened? You said, wow, there's providence working right there. Didn't see that coming. Here it is. Divine providence. God opens up doors in everybody's life every day. And he closes them. We walk through them or we don't walk through them. But they're providential. Everything is providential. Does everybody understand that? Do you understand that there's not one thing in this, there's not one ant who ever lived or died that wasn't ordained by God? The sovereignty of God rules the universe. He parted the Red Sea. He stopped the movement of the sun. He gave life to the dead. Everything that happens is providential. Everything. And because it's providential, and because you are who you are as the elect children of God, because of that, you know his will, because it's in his book, you have his mind. All you have to do is hone that spiritual instinct and want to know what his will is. Now, there's a problem sometimes. I'm going to put a little, colon, okay? Sometimes we don't want to know his will. Because his will is in conflict with our will, and that's a problem for us. Not for him, but it's a problem for us. Because at that point, when that happens, we're going into a state, what's called rebellion. We're rebelling against the sovereign God. Because we want what we want, not what he wants. That's the only thing that stops you from standing on high ground and from knowing God's will, is putting your will over his will. His sovereign providence rules everything. It rules nature. You know, not a single drop of rain falls but by the God's providence. It was Charles Spurgeon who said, how wonderful it is to know that a God would make a drop of rain so exactly the right size so that it didn't drown, crush, and it was enough to nurture a blade of grass. A sparrow will not fall from a tree until providence ordains it. Every hair on your head is counted. That means that every day of your life, every beat of your heart, every breath you take has been providentially ordained. That's why during the COVID thing, I said to everybody, nobody dies at the wrong time. I don't care if it's COVID. I don't care if it's a heart attack. I don't care if what it is. Your day, your birth date and your death date were preordained. Nobody dies at the wrong time. That's a very important understanding to have because it lets us know really, that he is in charge and we're not. And believe it or not, that's something that even God's children have to remember. He's in charge, we're not. It also rules our lives. Every heartbeat, how about every tear? You know, God collects your tears, metaphorically speaking. Your name is on the palm of his hand, the psalmist says. He collects your tears. Every tear you'll ever shed has already been measured out. Every conflict you'll ever have, every problem you've ever had, every blessing you've ever had has been sifted through the loving hands of your Heavenly Father. Now, sometimes we go through trials and tribulations, and they seem unbearable. But he even gives us a reprieve from that. He says, no temptation has overtaken you, but that which is common with man, and with the temptation will come a way of escape. God loves you. He didn't make you to torture you, to make your life miserable. Whether he gave you a cardboard box or he gave you the Taj Mahal, it doesn't matter. What matters is that you understand that he's yours, you're his, and that he wants you to know his will, and the best way to find that out is to give up yours. Period. Give up your will. Every event in our life has been planned out. Let me give you the proof first. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. What does that mean? I know the thoughts I have for you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. And all that means is that he couldn't say that unless he knew everything that was going to happen in your life. Go up to a mother that had a newborn baby and say, you know what, I think your son or your daughter is going to grow up and be a wonderful person, maybe president of the United States, going to have a great health. Could you do that? I don't think so. But God can do it because he's the creator. He is the sovereign one who ordains everything. Matter of fact, I think it's in Isaiah, and I'm not sure what chapter it is, but I know Wink knows it. He says, I am the Lord thy God. I am the one who creates evil and calamity, good and calamity. He creates everything. And the reason he does that is because he's God. He can do that. In summary, if you look at all the different events Providence brings into our lives, if you look at the things that are going on in your life and you look at them with spiritual instinct that God put them there, there's a reason why Mel and Joe haven't been here for a while. There's a reason why he's sitting in the booth right now instead of us having a memorial service for him. There really is. God's in charge of that. If you have that spiritual instinct and you look at Providence as a godly something that's ordained by God, if you're familiar with the scriptures, then if you add to that walking with Christ, and if you develop your spiritual instincts, then I'm here to tell you this morning that you will know God's will in anything, and you will always be standing on high ground as long as you do that. Listen, when we put God in the center of our life, listen to this. Literally, his will is an open book, right here. His will is an open book. And it's in loving and following this open book that we are standing on high ground. And what makes that pot even sweeter is because we have the divine promise of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to his purpose. How can anything go wrong? Do you understand? You can't make a bad decision, because even your bad decisions will work out for your good in some divine way. It'll happen that way. That's what it says. Now, if you're listening to this and you don't know Christ as your Savior, guess what? You don't have a spiritual instinct with God. You don't have a relationship with God. Why? Because you decided, like Frank Sinatra, to do it your way, okay? That isn't going to work out very well for you in eternity. You may have fun now. You may be able to take these wonderful days of summer that's soon to be upon us and go fishing, golfing, do all the things you want to do. But there will come a day when you'll have to stand before God and you'll have to talk about your sin debt to him. There is no loans. There is no do-overs. There's no going back and saying, I'm sorry, I want to get forgiven. None of that. You do it while you're alive, or you don't do it at all. If you leave this world in your sin, then your fate is in Revelation 20, 13 through 15, which talks about being thrown into the lake of fire. You'll be judged for what you did, and that's it. But that doesn't have to happen. Instead, if you feel God stirring your heart, the Bible says, repent of your sins, and whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You repent of your sins, and you have a contrite heart about that, and you want Christ in your life, and you want to have that walk with Christ, and you want to have that spiritual instinct to know his will for your life. If that's you, you see me, and I'll show you in his word how he wants you to be a child of God, one of his elect people. Call me or see me, and I'll show you in his word how to do that. Living and loving and following the book, that's how you stand on high ground. This week, go out into the world, and every day, check and see if you're standing on high ground. Let's pray. Father, the thing that's just been amazing to me of late is just the simplicity of everything and how it all goes together so clearly. We submit, we obey, we put you in our life, keep you in the center of it, and nothing in this world could keep you away from us. Oh God in heaven, we do pray that you would help all of us to do that. Help all of us to stand on high ground. Help all of us, Lord, to put you in the center of our life. Help us to get over ourselves so we can do that. And help us, Lord, to have that spiritual instinct to look at everything from a spiritual perspective. Thank you for all the gifts you've given us. Now help us to use them. Help us to be doers of the word. We know it's your will, so we ask it with great faith, and we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is in a blue hymnal. We'll stand and sing, "He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought," 128. 128. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. "He leadeth me, O blessed thought." He leadeth me. Wink, start it up. Ready?
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Fourth, and when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Amen. Wink, would you close us in prayer?
Amen. You may be seated. A couple of things. Again, I'm going to remind the members about our freshman offering. And also our church breakfast is coming up, if you can believe it, April 2nd, down in Fellowship Hall. And keep others in prayer. There's a lot of people starting to travel now, so I want to keep them in prayer. June and David, we want to keep them in prayer. David's going in for a little medical procedure, and June wasn't feeling well, and so she decided not to share that with us. So keep them up in your prayers. And with that, we'll be dismissed for a time of refreshment.